start. Joshua 18, verse 1 through verse 3, I call the message, How Long Are You Slack? And the whole congregation of the children of Israel assembled together at Shiloh and set up the tabernacle of the congregation there, and the land was subdued before them. And there remained among the children of Israel seven tribes which had not yet received their inheritance. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, How long are ye slack to go possess the land which the Lord of your fathers hath given you? Boy, there's so many applications to this. I go a lot of different directions. But I fear that there are yet not just some, but the multitudes who've not claimed their inheritance. The inheritance of what it is that God came, He sent His only Son Christ for you and I. And the Lord, we know, is not slack concerning His promises. But how long, Elijah said, how long halt you between two opinions? And you might say, well, how is that? Most of the people I know that claim Christ, they're between two opinions. And the thing is, this is the thing about the Lord. You got to be all in with God. It's not a part-time deal. I experienced the part-time religion, and I did all of these things. So an old preacher told me one time, he said, you can't preach it if you haven't lived it. And I absolutely believe that, and I believe that's why most men, when they speak, they're speaking on things that they've never done. They'll write books about things. You know, the guy, I want to talk to the guy that rode the horse. I want to talk to the guy that got thrown off the horse. I want to talk to the guy that's actually been on that tractor. Not the guy that wrote a book about it. I can go read the manual, and that's what the Bible becomes. It becomes a manual. And they say, well, I read the manual, so I know all this. But they don't know all this because they've never been in Christ. And you have to be all in with God. It's not a halfway house between this world and the next. That's not how He designed the thing. And once again, I always ask, who do you belong to? You know, I like what the old colored preacher said when he did the, some of you heard me say it, he did the funeral and the old boy they were burying, he was a rounder and a dice shooter and a gambler, you know, and rough. And they said, now what's the preacher going to say about him? And the preacher said, I'm going to throw this boy out here on the Jordan, and Lord, you are the devil, whoever he belongs to, come get him. And that's really true. It sounds funny, but it's the truth. Who do you belong to? Do you belong to God? Is He your father? Or you belong to the devil? Nobody believes they belong to the devil, see? Who is your real father, your Lord? To whom do you answer before you even speak? Before you even speak. You know what I find? A man's words usually give him away. If you'll talk to somebody for about 5 or 10 minutes, you'll learn a whole bunch. More than you could ever imagine. How? Not necessarily by the way they look, but what they say, the words that come out of their mouth. It's an amazing, amazing thing. And you all know, I always say, words mean things. It's amazing to me that God says you're going to be judged by the very words. Of all things to be judged by, the words that come out of your mouth. It's the most apparent thing that we have, our speech. I've said many times, most of you have been around for any length of time, I never quit cussing. I never did. I used to tell those boys in jail, I preached in the jails for at least 10 years. I said, preacher, the one question I always used to get asked was, how'd you quit cussing? I mean, I spent 8 years in the military. Yeah, we cuss in the Air Force. 8 years in the military. Son, if there was a word, if we didn't have a word for it, we'd make one up. You know, it's just the way that it was. I said, I never quit cussing. They said, but you don't cuss. I said, no, I don't cuss. I don't cuss anymore. You see, when I was born again of the Spirit of God, I became something totally new, something totally different, someone that wasn't who he was before. It was a super. It really happened, and it was a supernatural act, you see. And it wasn't by me. Man, could you imagine? Because I've done these things. Trying to stop doing something on your own. You just can't. Eventually, you know what's going to happen? It's going to come out. It always does. No matter how hard you try to hold it in. And it wasn't some natural transition by the use of my faculties. I was born again by the Spirit of God, and all things became new. They said, well, how long did that take? I said, it was like the blink of an eye. It was an instant. And it wasn't in a church. Because it did the church deal, and it didn't work. You see? And the amazing thing is I didn't do it. Matter of fact, I didn't have anything to do with it any more than I did with my natural birth. It wasn't me. Those of you who heard me preach for any time, I call Jonah in the Bible my great, too many greats to list, my uncle. Uncle Jonah. Man, if you want to know how I really am, look up Jonah in the Old Testament. Man, I complain when the sun's shining, I complain when it's raining. I shouldn't. It's wrong. And he did. And God told me to go somewhere and do something, and I didn't. God told him to go somewhere and do something, and he didn't. And if you've never spent, as Wiley Cameron said, 3 days and three nights in the seaweed motel, son, you ain't lived. You see. But Jonah said something in Jonah chapter 2, verse 9, that's the gospel truth. He said, salvation is of the Lord. It's not of me. It's not of you. It's not of any preacher. It's not of any priest. It's of the Lord. And that's where modern religion fails. You see, to them, it's a natural act with a so-called convert as a willing participant. But in truth, this is amazing, a true convert is of necessity an unwilling agent. I wasn't willing. As the J. Vernon McGee said, there was a colored boy up in Oklahoma, and he wanted to join this church, and they said, so they questioned him a little bit, you know, he wanted to join the church, and said, well, tell us how you got saved. And he said, well, I did my part and God did his part. Well, they were taken aback by that and said, well, what was your part? He said, my part was a sinning. You see, that was my part. I was a sinner. And I was really good at it. Really good. Much better than I should have been. That was my part. Why would a sinner come to God? I mean, it was my nature. It's what I did, you see. And the Bible says there's none good. So what you need is an unwilling participant. Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus. He became the Apostle Paul. He's a prime example. He wasn't going to get converted. He was going to kill Christians, those that followed Christ. I've actually got a better example than him, me. I was as flat on the ground as he was when God came to me. And when God was done with me, just like Paul, it was finished. And I got up a different man than I went down. In my last verse, 1 Timothy 1:15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I used to write it in every jailbird's Bible I gave out. And I said, when you become the chief of sinners, God's ready for you. But until you become the chief of sinners, you're wasting your time. You're just religious, you see. Now, this may all seem contradictory to the title of even of our message, How Long Are You Slack? But you see, you've never bowed. You've never given up this life. I had to give up this life. And the truth is, when God got done with me, I didn't want any more part of it. And most people, they're still their own boss. They look in the mirror at the boss every day. And as I said when I started, even your speech bewrayeth you. You see, once you've tasted the effectual calling and repentance that needs not further repentance, it's finished. It's over. It really is over. And I can't stress that enough, and I tell people that, and they don't, you can't understand it because the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. It's finished. It's over. The old man of sin dead and buried with Christ. Romans 8:9, you're no longer in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that Christ dwells in you. Does Christ dwell in you? And you no longer continue in sin. Samuel asked King Saul when he came and he was supposed to kill everything that breathed and of the Amalekites. And he said, well, how come I'm here the bleating of sheep? You're supposed to kill all them sheep. I can't name the number of times I've heard filthy language or even the Lord's name in vain. I heard it just 2 days ago coming out of men that profess to be children of God. I can tell you what happened if you cuss your natural daddy in my day. That leather belt started coming off, buckle first. And men cuss God every day and claim that they belong to him. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? How? Can anyone answer? You see, because we can't. I can't tell you the number of people said to me over the year. I said, man, it's finished. And they said, preacher, you better watch what you say. You're going to fall. I said, no, I already fell. To the lowest point. You can't get lower. And if you've never gotten that low, well, then I can't. You probably don't know anything I'm talking about. Better watch what you're saying. Ha. Man, if I had to watch what I was saying, I deny the very point of this whole message. I can't imagine walking through life trying not to cuss or use this word or that. You know, at work, you know why I don't go to the office? I work outside. I'm outside sales. And I try to stay out of the office because I'm so politically incorrect. I mean, listen, I'm a walking lawsuit. And what I say wouldn't be bad to any of you that are hearing my voice, because I know you. And it's the way we grew up, and it's the standards and the morals that we grew up with. But a queer's still a queer. Sodomite's still a sodomite. Whore's still a whore. Bastard's still a bastard. That's God's words. But you can't say those things. They just passed a law in Canada. You go to jail for that. You go to jail for that. See? So, like I said, I can't imagine trying not to say this or that because I can't. Because those are the things I do say. Those are biblical principles. How long would I last if I tried to be an aerospace engineer? And I could maybe fool some of you. But if I got into a room full of aerospace engineers, I wouldn't last long. They'd figure that deal out. If I got into a room full of Marines, they might figure out I was in the Air Force. I don't know. I can tell you this, I'd know I was in a room full of Marines. But that's another message, you see. If I was a quantum physicist, a doctor, I'm not. You see, eventually truth always comes out. What you really are will always, always, eventually reveal itself. As I tell a buddy of mine all the time, leopards can't change their spots. They just can't. What you really are, if you'll just stick around, what you really are will come out. We spoke last week about the gate where you came in, the narrow way, the straight gate. And most, they came in what you might call into religion from some denominational exercise. They might have been Catholic and gone through the catechism. They might have been Baptist and made a profession of faith. Or they might have been Church of Christ and become water dogs. Or they might have been Pentecostal and spoke in tongues. But they started this religious walk somewhere in some kind of church, and somebody told them, if you do ABC here, you're in. How do I know that? Oh, they believe in God, all right, but the devils believe in God, and at least they tremble. The most I've met, they blasphemously call. Man, I hear it all the time. They say, oh, the man upstairs. I'm going to tell you one thing. If you ever met him, you'd never utter such. Not ever. The very thought would cause trembling and fear. He's the great I am. He's the creator of the universe. He's the Lord of lords. And he holds my fate, and he holds your fate in the palm of his hand. And he could drop us into hell at any moment. God only knows how I've lived almost 74 years. God only knows. And every day I pick up the paper, and I've walked through this life more than 310 and seen those that have died before me. And I get an email every day. Someone from your class has been remembered. I signed up for something, I don't know, 20 years ago. School I went to. Some from your class has been remembered. Someone from your class has been remembered. Someone from your class has been remembered. We're worms before him. We're able to be crushed just like an ant. And we'll fear men. Anybody that's ever been through basic training will know that. We'll fear man, but we won't fear God. He's not my buddy. And that's the problem in parenting today. Your parents aren't your buddy. They're your parents. They're your mother. They're your father. It's a problem with elders. We don't respect elders. Told you there used to be an old preacher, and when he'd walk into church, the people would stand out of respect. It was a respectful thing. When a lady, are there any ladies left? You stand in a room, what would men do? Norm knows. You stand. Or you take your hat off when you meet a lady. Still do. Take your cap off. Take your hat off, ma'am. It's a sign of respect. You see, he's my God, and he's my creator, and he's my savior. So I ask you, how long are you slack to possess such a salvation? The Bible says, straight is the gate, and narrow is the way. Are you in that way? Are you on that road? He said, few there be that find it. And after so many years on the earth, I can tell you, I'm amazed how few. I'm utterly amazed. When I started preaching, I thought everybody's going to love this thing. I said, man, God's given me the most glorious pearl in the universe, and everybody's going to love it, and nobody wanted any part of it. And most of them, especially in church. And finally, in closing, in Romans chapter 3, what I learned a long time ago, you don't have to preach long to get the truth out. It doesn't take long to tell the truth. Romans chapter 3 and verse 10 through verse 12, he said, as it is written, there's none righteous. No, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They're all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. So as always, so many times, I'm always asking you, 2 Corinthians 13:5, to examine yourself. It's just you. Doesn't have anything to do with me. I'm just a messenger. Whether you be in the faith that Jesus Christ is in you. That's what he asked. Examine your own self. He said, know you not that Christ is in you, except you be reprobate, and you consider such. We'd certainly know the condition. You know, I've always said, we'd know the condition of your house if we were to pay you a little surprise visit. Well, if you're in Christ, this body, the Bible says, is the temple of the Holy Ghost. This is God's house if you're in Christ. Enough said. Now let's see what comes out of it. This house. What comes out of it? The fruit. Fruit of your actions, fruit of your deeds, fruit of your very voice. the fruit of your thoughts. Jesus said, if you think it, I get in trouble. If you think it. I ask, how long are you slack? If you've got a possession here, then you better claim it, because the time's getting shorter than ever before. I've never seen the time so short, not just because I've grown old, but I've never seen the time so short. People dying, young people committing suicide, suicide in the military, suicide in the young people, young athletes in the prime of their life dropping dead on the field. The Bible says today, not tomorrow, today is the day of salvation. In Colossians chapter 3, he said, put off the old man with his deeds. That's what he said. Isn't that amazing? Put off the old man with his deeds. Colossians chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. Put off the old man with his deeds. Put him off. Put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Amen. You see? Put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him.